Hey, I need to get all my 12s out.
All of your tokens. How many fucking tokens did you have?
Hold on, I'm not done. There's one more. That's just the one.
I rolled a D100 for you.
Well, thank you. What did it roll?
36.
Oh. So, for the sake of keeping it open enough, just in case the cause has to be different, we're gonna begin in the very same place where we started, though maybe about, like, 20 minutes later. Minerva went to go check Holmes' room, which means Santa Claus is out and about again.
Who the fuck is Minerva?
Oh yeah, that's right. Probably a good way to start this. So, everybody roll me a sharp, and then whoever gets the highest sharp, I'll throw this out to them.
Do I really need to get another set of D6s? For Duncan specifically?
I did it. I didn't fail.
You want to borrow your cousin's dice?
Sure.
Here you go.
I got a 7.
They're definitely not cursed.
So, these will be for Duncan for tonight?
It's a few?
Yes.
It just
makes it easier on me.
What? Jesus fuck.
Dear Lord. Duncan succeeding.
Cool. Not even Doug rolls that well on his own dice.
Don't bother. You won't 11. Win.
It's the 14. Power of purple.
You got what?
14.
You can tie. You can tie.
What's it plus?
Sharp. Sharp.
You can tie.
I can get a higher than him, technically. No, wait. No, I can tie. That's a 7.
He tied. He tied with me.
There you go.
That's never a good thing, usually.
Love to see it.
It's funny, because Luke also got a 7.
Together forever, Willie. Until you die first.
Duncan, surprise, surprise, you notice everything. It must be so fun being noise-sensitive autistic.
I'm mostly distracted by the egg.
It's Santa Claus, specifically, that you hear having a small conversation. Nothing too important, but you do catch a name. He refers to her by a first name, specifically the name Minerva. And that's what you get.
Who, the Baba Yaga?
Yeah. Yes.
Aunt Yaga?
Aunt Yaga. Who as well has gotten back from checking Holmes's room with Holmes in tow, although it's mostly Holmes walking in front. And then Holmes kind of like looks around the room and she looks at everybody. She says, are we missing someone?
It's just Maher. He probably went to the bathroom.
Okay. But the hostess addresses everyone, says, we should be arriving soon. Couple things for everybody that didn't get that sharp roll. So Luke,
it's us.
Luke, Willard, and Alex. Well, Alex, you already have an item. I'm gonna let you have that item. Luke and Willard, roll for me. Roll me flat luck.
Is it just hiding an item between the two of us?
Yeah.
You could just have it. Yeah. I'll give it up long.
There's two items.
8.
Okay.
4.
Okay. So, when you guys went into, like, the treasure room, you didn't really find anything. But there are small things here and there and around. And I think it's mostly just, it's half the hostess wanting to be a good hostess. And also half, like, kind of a consolation thing. Because, you know, this is a little bit of a tough puzzle. There's small little favors. Little party favors. Willard, you see two. One of them is larger than the other, and it looks like it's a vial of liquid.
Sippy.
You're gonna sip it?
Mm-hmm. Actually, okay. No. Will is too smart for that bullshit.
That's what you're gonna... I fucking knew you. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, like, do you want to try a drink?
Real fast claws on all of the magic items in my world, especially the ones that can potentially take away player agency.
I'm not allowed to play the game.
If a player tries to give another player this kind of substance, it works similar to a manipulate someone, which is it's going to automatically fail unless the other person wants to cooperate. If that person cooperates, they give me XP.
I feel like earning an experience, Cody.
By the notch that's on the vial, it looks like there's about 2 servings in it. Kind of looks like the Cusco vial.
You know what? I've got a way to persuade him. If you try some, I'll try some.
Okay. I was kind of thirsty after swimming in the memory pool.
You looked a little bit parched.
And okay. Holmes didn't offer us hot chocolate again because we couldn't get back to the thing, so.
I was about to watch us literally explode and then feel like shit because of the comments.
Holmes hears you guys say that, and she's like, oh, I can get back into the room now. I could probably just go and get some.
Let's manipulate someone plus again.
Well, hold on. What does it smell like? Well, you still want that, but...
It's...
Because I will at least take a whiff.
It's a little sharp, very clear. It's almost like very expensive water or a stainless steel spoon.
So what's it plus, Katie?
I mean, you guys don't roll anything for this.
Actually, the manipulate someone.
Oh, I thought
you
said
the
manipulate someone.
It works similar to a manipulate someone.
Okay. I was going
to
say.
The aspect that it's similar to is you get an EXP. What this is you either choose to fail or you choose to succeed in resisting it.
I take a drink.
Okay, alright.
I also take a drink at the same exact time.
Well, actually, it's one thing, so you gotta wait your turn.
It appears as though...
Me pulling out a flask.
Nothing has happened yet. I will explain what has happened in a moment, because this is a little bit more subtle. Luke, you see, it was next to that potion bottle, but it looks like it's gone off to the side. This is a very, 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 very tiny, like, thimble-sized salt shaker.
Son of a bitch, I know what I just did.
What did you do, dumbass?
Is this what I think it is?
It's
is
not, actually. Okay. That's an accident. Nobody's getting big.
I get small.
Honey, we know. Okay. That salt shaker has 1d6 random amount of doses. Go ahead and roll that.
I don't like hearing a salt shaker that has doses.
That vial, depending on whether or not a die is rolled, that's odds or evens, depending on the result, will either refill with 1 or 2 doses. As Holmes leaves, both of you, the next time you try to lie, will find yourself automatically speaking the truth.
I have no reason to lie.
I do.
Since Holmes saw you guys drinking that, she went to go get hot cocoa, and everyone else has just been kind of doing their own thing, you both take it, and it tasted kind of nice. It was mundane, you know, party tricks.
I'm glad it had a little interesting flavor.
Oh,
it tastes like
when
a spoon.
It's empty as well.
What did you just say, Cody?
It tastes like a spoon.
When it's empty as well, you can see a filled-in circle appear on the glass, and if you wait just long enough, you'll notice that, similar to a clock going down, that starts to kind of lessen. So when it finally, it's a cool-down timer, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It'll disappear when it's ready again. Holmes, comes back, actually rather quickly. She doesn't have any hot cocoa, and she just kind of...
You lied to me.
But she just kind of comes back, and she's like, oh, I found Ma her.
Oh. Oh, cool.
Well, he's sleeping.
He'll be fine.
Hold on. Is he normal sleeping, or did he take drugs?
Well, I don't know. How does he sleep?
I would know this.
Does he sleep on the floor?
No.
Oh, does he wake up when you shake him a lot?
Yes.
I think this might be a different type of sleep.
Maher was either drugged or put into a coma.
He could have passed out from heat exhaustion or something weird like that.
Dehydration?
Probably.
That's fair. He didn't drink anything at all.
He didn't eat anything either.
That's probably it.
Yes, but the body could go longer without food than water.
Plus, he didn't quite look malnourished or anything.
Yeah, but...
I've gone a couple days without water. It's not fun.
Yeah.
The signs would show.
Yeah, I'll chalk it up to whatever for now.
Let's go check on him.
Okay, alright.
No.
It's up to you whether or not you guys want to.
I was going
to
say, actually, I want to. Is the Baba Yaga still around right now, or?
She is. She's just been... Not idling, but she kind of wanders the halls.
Lloyd's
going
to go, like, kind of track her down for a second. He has something that he wants to talk to her about.
I'm going to go take care of Maher, see how he's doing.
Okay, what do the twins want to do?
Luke is just going to be bewildered by the shaker.
Okay.
And Duncan will also go check on Maher, because Maher passing out does not sound right.
Yeah, fair.
Well, he is old.
The first thing Duncan's going to do is check his pulse.
Okay. So,
absolutely toasting Maher.
Really fast, I'm just going to give you guys kind of the rundown. It looks like Maher did not injure anything. He's got a pulse. He is out, though. Like, you come in, and Holmes is the first person in there, and she just already poking his cheek, like, look, see? And he just doesn't move.
It's going to sound...
Well, he breathes, and he kind of, like...
This is going to sound really weird. I'm going to just smell around his mouth.
Someone clip that.
Okay, fair.
And the thing is, I'm looking for a different kind of smell.
I know what you're looking for. Investigate a mystery for me.
There's a possible easier solution, but go ahead, cook.
Seven. Seven. I have exactly a seven.
On a mixed success, you smell something's up. But, you know, you also get, like, the chance to...
Maher dad breath.
It's not great. I think not even for, like, any specific, like, bad teeth reason, but specifically because it's just him.
I wonder if the reason Maher doesn't kiss people because of his breath.
Rude. You can only say this because he's asleep.
Something's wrong. Something doesn't smell right, but I don't want to know anything else.
Oh, what I was going to say is, yeah, you can tell that, like, and you can hear because you're getting up close. Coming in deep, coming in steady. Doesn't sound like he's ill of any variety. He's just out. And Holmes starts looking around the room again. She's just kind of not talking to herself, but talking out loud. Just like, I can't believe he fell asleep. I had more things I wanted to give him.
Duncan, any magical thing you can do?
He's going to use a sight to see if there's any magic effect on him.
Okay.
You let me smell his breath.
Mayhaps, though you're not quite sure how, considering he's been very adamant about not ingesting anything, he's got magic in him. It's possible that he ate something. Doesn't look like he has any wounds. So unless he got fucking cacuined, and there's, you know...
Did he drink tea when he was talking with the...
He did not. Holmes comes back over with, like, a small, little spiral-bound book, and she just kind of, like, puts it in his coat pocket, says, it's secret.
Okay.
But also, is he gonna wake back up?
Wall magic wind?
My diagnosis is that he probably needs to be seen by someone who's more experienced in this than I am.
No one's here like that.
As far as...
Santa!
As far as you're aware, considering you've seen magic radiation and, like, heavily aggressive magic, this just kind of looks like a more mundane sort of spell. Like, this isn't an instrument. This is a one note. You're gonna go to sleep.
One note?
Yeah.
It's like just hitting one ting time on a kalimba.
So he ingested magic?
It's possible. It's also possible that someone just got really good at casting spells from far away.
Possible someone just put them to sleep?
Yeah.
I could do that. That was a good tool.
But at some point, Santa will get back in the room and kind of take a look at him. Oh yeah, he's going to be out for a while.
What happened?
I don't know how it works specifically, but it looks like he's taking a little bit of an involuntary sleep. I woke up because I was hungry. Specifically, you know, favorite food. So, whatever he enjoys, maybe that'll work. What does he do?
I've got this. If you get up now, you will be given more overtime.
Oh, that's so good. I would call the... Dude, you gotta get in here. You say that, and his face twitches, but he goes back to sleep.
A giant raise of $2 if you get up.
$2 onto your yearly salary.
We will take away vacation days for you.
You can cash in your vacation days. They go straight into your 401k that you won't use. While you guys are doing that, Willard, you run into Minerva somewhere outside of... It's actually back near that covered porch, and you can see that she's just kind of, like, charting the waves a little bit. She's got her own spyglass, though you can't see anything on the horizon yet.
Okay. So I say, Willard's gonna, like, kind of, I guess, knock against the wall just to make sure that he doesn't startle her.
Oh. She tucks the spyglass away, motions you to come over.
Okay. He's gonna walk up to her.
I'm able to see part of where we're going to settle. It's still going to take potentially another hour or so. Did you need something?
Yes, actually. I was wondering if it'd be okay if I asked a couple more questions, if that's not too big of a hassle for you.
Yeah, I didn't tell him how to use the loophole.
It's not a big deal. I can handle a couple more questions.
So, you make contracts similar to the one that I'm in with Oberon in a way, correct?
Well, yes.
If that's the case, I was wondering if I could make a contract with you.
Contracts usually have a heavy level of cost, but what did you have in mind?
So, I'm unsure of how familiar you are with the secret keeper, or whatever you wish to call him, and the secrets that he holds.
Oh, yes. She takes something out of her pocket. It looks like a little, like a monocle, but it's fully colored in glass, like a blue glass. And you hear a tiny little voice that's like, "When are you gonna let me out? I'm tired of it here.
I'm tired of this crap. Well, that's too damn bad."
And she just kind of twirls it around in her her fingers for a second and says, "He was having a little bit too much fun."
Fun.
And she sets him back down in her pocket where you hear that little voice. It's like, "Every night I'm not done with you."
I've heard tales of you before, of course. And I heard you're quite powerful. So I was wondering about forming a bit of a more, I guess, unorthodox contract with you, if that's okay.
All right. She takes a couple steps back. And as she walks backward from the pier, the smoke that gathers down from her robes, a lot of it kind of just sloughs off, and in its place of where she was standing, that those shadows form themselves before dusting off into that set of chairs and that table with that tea set. She pulls out one of the chairs and offers the other one to you.
He's gonna take the seat. Fucking run away with it. I'm sorry.
She mentions as well. She says, "The tea set is more for aesthetic purposes. You can really have any drink you can think of."
The tea is quite nice, actually.
Okay.
What I was wondering is, I've already told the secret keeper this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dying. I'm just prolonging my own death. I was wondering if, in exchange for the years I have left, if you'd be able to tack them onto homes. Because from what I've gathered from this place is, it's not necessarily that we're dead, we're sort of in a fuzzy in-between almost. So some years, actually I guess a decent amount of years off my life for more years on hers.
Homes coming back to life is quite a... I'll admit, it's a concept I've thought of before, though it is difficult to make singular contracts. And Holmes is not old enough to understand the gravity of those kinds of agreements. Well, I suppose it's something I could think about. It would definitely give her the chance to experience an actual life, but the exchange here is that you
think of it almost like her place and my place are more or less swapped, not necessarily in the time, but more so in her time she'll be alive again, and in my time I'll come here instead. That way you still have company. Granted, I'm pretty sure you've grown quite fond of her at this point, and I'm not sure
if I would be a suitable replacement, but I think that any kid, at least at her age, at least deserves to live a little bit longer.
She taps her spectral fingers together, and then she says, so in this instance, the contract that was given between yourself and Oberon, it in itself is, it's got a lot of inherent value to it, especially with the way it's written. I don't know if you've had the chance to read it yet, but you definitely should. I don't see why I couldn't just swap the person who came back. But you understand the nature of this contract will mean that you're tied to specifically my realm for the foreseeable eternity.
I'm more than okay with that. The rules here are fairly simple, fairly straightforward. I kind of enjoy that about this place, as long as I maintain the rules. Nothing wrong should come of me. On top of that, I've grown quite fond of this place so far. It's nice and quiet, unlike what I'm used to.
She says, well, can definitely find something for you here. Forming new areas and new spaces takes a little bit of thought and effort on my part, but it is not impossible. The house has its own power and its own magic to say. So the longer you're here, the easier it becomes to find a space of your own. She brings her hands away from each other, gesturing her own tea set away, and she says, if that's what you want to do, I'm not opposed to it. I will need you to sign, in addition as well, the girl. She's always going to have a place here, but should she be brought back to life, she'll have to remember exactly how the human body functions. She never needed to eat in the first place from the moment she got here, so she'll probably need to start eating things other than sugar. And because she's always going to have some sort of tie back here, she'll be able to visit willingly on her own, though not for very long. And in contrast to that, the people that knew you won't be able to see you anymore. You can visit every once in a while, but it's more so the way ghosts visit. It might be a voice, it might be through a book.
Something of that nature.
Something like that. It will be limited. I've been told from some spirits that pass through that this type of existence can be rather lonely. But if that's something you're comfortable with, she kind of turns the paper over and spins it, and hands it over to you, and hands you a quill.
Who's gonna sign it?
The instant that you sign it, one very interesting thing happens, because you are still alive. What this is, this contract basically switches the members of the deal. In addition to that, Minerva was aware of exactly how long your lifespan is. You now come to the realization that roughly you have about 8 or so years. But yes, when you sign, you feel kind of like a liftedness come off your shoulders. Like there was something in your lungs that you didn't even know was there until it was removed. And then the contract rolls itself up and disappears into smoke. She says, I'll keep it in an open records, and I will attempt to make some accommodations.
Thank you.
In addition to that, I'll probably need to tell the rest of the people that are waiting for us down where we land exactly how this will work, considering they're going to be expecting you and not a child, though they are aware of them. And you hear her say something under her breath, roll me a sharp.
To 9. I'm gonna use my little boy here. That's
a
10.
Little boy? That's a 10. The thing that she mutters under her breath is something to the tune of, that's the only reason why we're not in the ocean right now.
Pog.
I can swim.
No, you can't.
Something to do with the mentioning of homes in general may have prevented some serious consequences from falling. But, she pauses and she says, the only thing that I think will be different is I believe you also no longer feel the sensation of hunger nor will you need to. That's really the only thing that carries over. Since you still had a potential lifespan, it makes the most sense for you to still have it, though you are now concretely aware of exactly how much time that is. She then gets up. She says, there are a lot of things I need to prepare, so if it's all right with you, and she's going to walk towards the door.
Gonna say, he's going to actually stop her for one more question real quick. Since I'm engaged with this contract with you now, while I still have...
Bad wage.
I fucking hate you, Cody. While I'm in this contract with you, up until the time of my departure from the world, am I going to be able to visit here for somewhat freely, or how's that going to work, if you don't mind me asking real quick?
I'm going to have a channel set up specifically for Holmes. I'm going to have to see if she wants to be called Holmes or her original name. I'm going to set up a channel for her to travel safely. So that passage should be available to you. Basically, she's got something set up for where if you want to travel between the worlds, you can. You can't do it a lot, and you're not going to show up fully, but you can have, like, some communication when you die. Right now, it's more of you get one specific hallway. You get one shortcut.
Okay.
That only ever goes...
Hey, you're used to that. Alex is a lot.
And she hands you a small stone as well, and she says, whenever you want to, put this in the ground. It always goes to one place, which is that door back there, but you should be able to enter it from anywhere, as long as it's in solid ground.
Thank you.
I guess someone's going to have to let her know the good news.
I'll go break it to her.
Okay.
Because there's someone who I think is going to be pretty close to her that I'm going to... need to vaguely discuss this with.
Alright, well, I'm not a captain, this isn't a ship, but welcome aboard. And she's going to absorb herself into smoke again and rise up like a cloud and then move in through that door as you see things start to like change on the walls. She's putting things back up. There's also, you know the mannequins that would tear people's faces off?
Yeah.
It appears like they're up and moving again, but they seem a lot more jovial. And if they go near anybody, they don't try to rip faces off today. Today is a non-aggression day.
Sweet. Nice.
They're on break.
Well, they're not on break. They still sweep and put things away.
Or